we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for a time that the church can gather together, Lord. Your body can gather together and hear the teaching and preaching of your words, Lord. And we're thankful for a building. But Lord, we're thankful that we could be part of the church, your church. And now we pray, Lord, that our eyes and our ears will be open to your words and that we would get something to better walk with thee from the scriptures. So we pray these things for Christ's sake. Okay, we left off in verse 14. The Bible says, "And when they were come down to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son." Now, when the Lord comes back at the second coming, what mountain is his feet going to touch? Anybody recall? The Mount of Olives, yeah. The Mount of Olives, that's found in Zechariah 14:4. Zechariah 14:4. Bible says, verse 3, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And on the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." And so when Jesus took these three disciples up to a high mountain to see the transfiguration, which is a picture of his second coming, we can determine from the scriptures that he's coming back, the Bible says, to the Mount of Olives. He's going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives. And so we can make a determination there that mountain that he went up was the Mount of Olives that he was transfigured on. He fulfilled what he had spoken to the disciples in Matthew 16:28, where he says, "There shall be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And so when the Lord comes back, he's coming back. He's going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives. So what kingdom does he come in? He comes in the kingdom of heaven. And who does he throw out of that kingdom? He's going to throw out the devil. He's going to throw out the devilish influences. He's going to throw out the unclean spirits and those that that follow him. Those that follow him. If you're not a follower of Jesus in the tribulation, folks, if you don't know, if you make it there, because you didn't believe here, if you don't know Jesus, you're not getting into the millennium. You're not getting in. There's going to be the people that are that have trusted Jesus in the millennium. If they die, they're going to be justified. Those that get through the tribulation that have trusted in Jesus, they will get to enter into the millennium. Now, if you're a Jew and you die in the tribulation, it looks like they get resurrected to come into the millennium. But a Gentile doesn't look so. I don't see any scriptures where that would be so. But it may be. Maybe the Lord will give us some more light on that. But those that denied themselves, took up their cross, and followed Jesus, and we went through that business a few weeks ago. Those that know the Lord and obey the gospel during the tribulation, they'll get to stay if they make it through. There's two parts of your body being saved in the tribulation, or two parts of you that are going to be saved in tribulation. Your soul, by trusting in Jesus. And if you endure to the end, your body gets through, your body gets saved. It doesn't see death. It goes into the millennium. I hope everybody understands that, but That will be by your works. Your body will be by your works. If you didn't obey Jesus and get out of that city when he tells you to, when you see that abomination, the Jew doesn't do that. He's not going to get to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It looks like he can get resurrected to come in, but his body doesn't get saved to go in. He dies. He'll die in that tribulation. If he trusted in Jesus Christ, his soul will be saved. Salvation of the soul is always by faith. The salvation of your body, that's another story. Hey, the Lord says to obey your parents in the Lord, right? In doing so, it seems like you'll live a long life. If you don't obey your parents in the Lord, you'll end up as a drug addict. You'll end up murdered in the streets somewhere. Hey, your parents are going to teach you and bring you up right if they're godly parents. And by obeying them, your life will be, it'll last a little longer, right? The Jew in the Old Testament, yes. Your parents that have brought you up, brought you up in the Lord. It's not a necessarily hard fact that you're going to live a long life, right? But there is the promise in the Bible. That promise is there. The Jew in the Old Testament, if he obeyed the law, he was going to be saved from his enemies. We went through those verses. If they obey Jesus in the tribulation, they'll get through. They'll escape the Antichrist. If they don't trust his words, they could trust in Jesus. And they don't believe what he says when they say to run, to flee, and they turn back, they're going to lose their life. And so you can say there's faith and work salvation in the tribulation. But the faith is the salvation of your soul, trusting in Jesus. The works part is the salvation of your flesh, your body, as far as not getting killed. Okay. The kingdom of heaven. They're not going to get in by the Antichrist's ways. They're not going to get in by the devil's ways. You're not going to get into that kingdom by your ways. If you find yourself in that tribulation, why? Because it's the only way you're going to get in there is through the way that Jesus has set forth, the way God has set forth in His Bible. And so, those that find themselves in the tribulation will have to get a Bible, and they're going to have to read it, and they're going to have to trust the Lord. And if you trust in God, if you trust in Jesus as your Savior, right? And you're seeking the truth, He's bound by His words to show that to you. He's bound by His words to show that to you. If you seek, you shall find. And so, those that want to work their way through the tribulation, go ahead. Think works are going to get you through? Go ahead. And not trusting Jesus? Then you're going to be cast out. You can't serve two masters. How can you trust in Jesus and take the mark of the beast in the tribulation? It can't be done. Either you had faith in Jesus or you didn't. You had faith in the Antichrist and his promises. And so, the best way to not to ever see the tribulation is to get saved and trust Jesus today, right? Just as your works, after you're saved today, you'll be rewarded for them. Those in the tribulation, after they trust Jesus, those works, they get a reward. What's their reward? If they obey Him, and their works follow, they get through. And they don't die. They get to go right into the millennium. So if a man denies himself, and takes up his cross and follows Jesus, he won't take the mark. And if he truly trusts Jesus and obeys him and follows him, God will get him through that tribulation. Why? Because his heart will be right. Why? Because he submitted himself to the truth about what he is, about who he needs to believe in, and who he needs to follow. And you can't tell me that God is not powerful enough to take a person with a heart like that and get him through a tough time like the tribulation, or even in this age, through this life. Folks, with God, all things are possible. And that's a Bible promise. Now look at what this man is doing here. He has the right attitude. He says, verse 15, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water." So what is this man's attitude? First, he's humbling himself before God. Go with me, if you would, to James. James 4. James 4, 6. Bible says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." What's this man doing? He's kneeling. He's kneeling before the Lord, saying, "Lord," acknowledges him as Lord. And so the first thing you have, the first part of your attitude that you have to have when coming to the Lord and requiring anything of them, is to be humble. But not only that, you have to acknowledge Jesus is the Lord. And you have to humble yourself. And not only that, what else is he doing? He's interceding for somebody else. He's interceding for his son. He's looking for mercy. And he's specific in his request to the Lord. And he tells him the problem that he's having. And there's a lot of sicknesses out there. There's a lot of sicknesses. "Look, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water." And there's a lot of sicknesses out there in the world that some have to do with devils and some do not. And so how can we know if we're dealing with a sick person that is being oppressed by a devil? In some instances you'll know, in some instances you won't. But let's look at what the Bible says here in Ephesians 5. And let's see if we can see some things about how we can determine if somebody's being oppressed by a devil. The Bible says, Ephesians 5:29. The Bible says, "For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." It's not in man's nature to hurt himself, folks. The Bible says, "For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh." So if you find somebody that's hurting themselves, causing pain in their body, folks, you're dealing with a devil. Because nobody in their right mind would ever take their body and cause it pain. And cause it discomfort. Unless you're being influenced by a devil. And so whenever you have somebody taking their life, and whenever you have somebody doing piercings, and whenever you have somebody tattooing their bodies, causing pain. Folks, you ever been stuck with a needle? I get stuck with fish hooks all the time, going fishing. And I'm telling you what, that thing just enters that much, and you're pulling away. I can imagine how my dog felt. I had my fishing poles. I had this little puppy, and I was going to work one day, and I had my fishing poles stuffed in a corner, not thinking she would ever get in there. I come home. This little puppy was underneath the couch. I don't know how it got under there. And he tucks his little head out, and she's got this, it's called a Swedish pimple, and it's stuck in her nose, dangling there. I'm like, oh, man, and she's yelping, looking for me to help, and there's nothing I could do. I mean, it was past the barb. I had to take her in and get that removed, but they had to put her under. But nobody is going to inflict pain upon themselves unless they're being influenced from an outside source. And it's not God, folks. God doesn't want you to go through suffering. This kid is falling in the fire. What did Jesus Christ do? He endured the sufferings of every sinner, for every sinner, so that you wouldn't get burned. When you have people sacrificing their kids to the devil, to sacrificing their kids, but folks, you're dealing with a devil. How do you know this? Because the Antichrist, he's going to have the spirit of a Judas in him. He's going to be the devil. And he's going to be sacrificing Jews on an altar, folks, killing people. It's the devil. You're dealing with the devil. And so you don't hear it. You don't ever hear this on the news, but there are people out there that abduct children, folks. You can see the faces of children all over in Walmarts and different stores. There's people out there that will abduct children to sacrifice them. Don't think that they won't. They got it on TV. They put it on these thriller movies that you see, burying them alive and all this other stuff. It happens all the time. It happens every day in this country. The Bible says there's no new thing under the sun. Look at the nation of Israel. They are in a condition of worshiping God. They're worshiping the works of God, but they're not worshiping God. Look, if you would, to Jeremiah 8. Jeremiah 8. Verse 2. Now we'll start at verse 1. At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves, and they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved and whom they have served, after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. This is the nation of Israel, folks. And their state is, they are worshiping the sun. They're worshiping the moon. They're worshiping the works of God. And they're not worshiping God. And they're, those that are seeking worship from objects, folks, they're seeking loyalty and they're seeking control. They're seeking to be controlled. Devils attach themselves to objects of worship. They might not be the object, but they're behind the object. And why? Because devils want worship. They want you, they want your worship. They don't want you worshiping God. They want you worshiping four-footed beasts that God made. They want you worshiping the moon that God made. But they don't want you worshiping God. But all idolatry winds up in people sacrificing their children to idols, folks. All of it. Let's see what you got. You have the television. How many parents out there will let their kids spend countless hours in front of the television? Just watching it. Where do they get it from? They get it from the parents, folks. You have pleasure out there in the world. How many parents would rather skip church and skip time with God to have pleasure in this world? I'm not saying that there's not a time for us to enjoy the things that God has created. But how many times do we skip out of the things of God to do these things? Hey, I'm guilty, folks. I'm guilty. I'm just as guilty as the next person. How about education? How many kids have been sacrificed to this education system that we have in America? What are they teaching them in there? There are more ways than one. There's more ways than throwing a kid in a fire, folks, to destroy a child. But that's what Israel was doing. They're throwing their kids in the fire. And that's what the Bible says. They were sacrificing their kids to these idols that they worshiped by throwing them in the fire. But so Israel's condition is a condition of worshiping the work of God, but not the God of the work. And what do they want to do? They wanted to keep the law, God. They wanted to keep the law of God, and to establish their own righteousness instead of seeking God's righteousness and obeying Him. Israel didn't seek the law by faith. Go if you would to Romans 9. They didn't seek the law by faith. Romans 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. They didn't get the righteousness by works. Righteousness comes by faith. And so they wanted the law. They wanted the work of God. But they didn't want God. Folks, nobody but Jesus ever kept the whole law, every jot, every tittle, and no one ever will until Jesus sets things right. And you know what that means? There is none righteous, the Bible says. No, not one. And that goes for this age. That goes for the age to come. And that goes for the previous age. Now, this is what Israel was doing. Go with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 19. This is what they were doing. Jeremiah 19. The Bible says, verse 1, thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people, and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee, and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me, and if it estrange this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high place of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings. That's what Israel was doing. This was what was going on in the midst of the nation of Israel. They're burning their kids to the moon. They're burning their kids to the stars. They're burning their kids to the sun. What do you think is going to happen to your children? When you worship the things of God, and you don't worship God. And so here you have this child who has this devil. And what is this devil doing to this child? Throwing him in the fire. This child's falling in the fire. This child's falling in the water. Why is he doing that? Does anyone ever think why this devil wants this child to burn up? Do you think the child is feeling pain when he's falling in the fire? You ever been burned, folks? I've been burned. Welding by trade, you get burned every day. Every day of your life that you're welding, you get burned. It may not be your whole body burning up. It may not be with flames, but it's with coals hotter than flames. Little BBs hitting your skin. Big BBs hitting your skin. If one falls in your boot, don't try to take your boot off. Just let it sit there and burn. Because you'll start out with a hole about that big, and it'll just keep burning, and you'll end up with a hole that big. But it's painful to be in a fire, folks. It's painful to get burned. And this devil knows his end. And devils want you to suffer the same fate they have. And so that's why this child is falling in the fire often. Not only that, but he's falling in the water. Why is he falling in the water? Hey, devils, when they're in hell and they're going to be in a lake of fire, they're not going to be any water for them. So maybe this devil wants to get comfort somehow through this child. And feel the water through this child. Or maybe in Luke 8:30, it talks about Jesus, the devil's not wanting to go into the deep. That's their end. Maybe this devil wants this child to experience what it's like to go into the deep. It's found in Luke 8:30. But devils, they want to torture people. When you see somebody hurting themselves or hurting others, rest assured you're dealing with a devil. Verse 16 of Matthew 17. The Bible says, and this is what this man says, "And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Now here's the mistake this man made. He went to Jesus' disciples instead of going to Jesus. Earlier, Jesus sent his disciples out in pairs, healing the sick and casting out devils. But the disciples were to go to them, not this guy go to the disciples. The disciples were commanded to go into these cities, and those cities that were worthy, they were to heal and cast out devils. And those that didn't receive them, they were to shake off the dust of their feet against that city. But some would argue, well, when Jesus sent his disciples out into the cities and gave them power of unclean spirits, why then didn't they have power over this one? Why didn't they have power here? Why would Jesus give them power over unclean spirits and they can't cast the devil out? Well, maybe that was a certain time when Jesus sent them out. And maybe this guy, maybe he wasn't a Jew. I don't know that he was. But we know that Jesus sent his disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Or maybe this guy was a Jew, but the disciples weren't in pairs like Jesus sent them out. And so the power wasn't there. It looks like all these disciples were in the same city as besides Peter, James, and John, because they were with Jesus coming out of the mountain. It looks like all the other disciples were in that city. But we have to give God the benefit of the doubt here. Jesus is going to show something here. Now look at what he says to this man. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came to the disciples, to Jesus apart, and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Well, so what is Jesus saying here? What's it going to take for a person to finally realize that I'm the way, that I'm the truth, that I'm the life? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, folks. How many miracles does Jesus have to perform? How many miracles does that Jew, do people have to see or hear about before you'll trust in Jesus and not in men? Hey, they had the Old Testament scriptures, folks. They don't study the scriptures. And if they studied the scriptures, that Jew, they don't put them into practice. They don't put it into practice in their lives. And he's saying, that includes the disciples. That includes you, the disciples. You're part of that generation. Go with me, if you would, to Isaiah 58. They had the scriptures, folks. Isaiah 58. Verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They asked of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Hey, folks, when Jesus was fasting 40 days and 40 nights, you think he obeyed that? Why do you think he was fasting? You think he was fasting for himself? For strife? To smite with a fist? Or was he fasting for others? For those that he was going to heal? For those that he was going to loose the bands of wickedness against? Disciples had the scriptures. Where you think they were following it? Well, why couldn't they cast that devil out? If they were obeying the scriptures, if they were doing what the Lord wanted, if they were afflicting their souls for others instead of worrying about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom, you think they would have been able to help this gentleman and his kid? Folks, people are selfish. And they do things for themselves. That's just our nature. But Jesus, he fasted. And Moses, he fasted. And Elijah, he fasted. And they were able to do these things. But these disciples, Jewish disciples, this man that came to Jesus, they couldn't do anything for this poor child. Folks, do you know why a man will go into a confession booth week after week and confess his sins to a man that can't forget anything? Because he's faithless. He's faithless. He doesn't have the Word of God. And that's what Jesus tells these people. You're faithless. You're perverse. You know why a man goes into a confession booth week after week? Because he's perverted. He thinks a man's going to be able to help him. And a man can never help him. But Jesus can. And we see Jesus rebuking this devil. And he departed out of him. He departed out of him. We have a God that's long-suffering, like Jesus is long-suffering towards this nation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Folks, Jesus did all things that pleased the Father. And that's why Jesus is able to cast this devil out of this child. And he tells his disciples, hey, this one cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. You want to start doing things for others? Are you afflicting your soul for others? Are you not eating for others? Are you not putting clothes on your back and putting clothes on somebody else's? That's what he's saying in Isaiah 58. It's not how you end that matters, folks. It's how you end that matters. It's not how you start. And this guy started out going to men. But when he figured out that men couldn't do anything for him, he went to Jesus. And Jesus was able to help him. And when a person on this earth figures out that men can't help them, and they hear about Jesus, and they go to Jesus, Jesus will heal them. Jesus will help them. Everyone here can go to Jesus and intercede for their own children and their own family and get their requests answered. Why? Why can they do that? This man did. He didn't go to another man. He didn't go confess his sins to another man to have a devil cast out. He went to Jesus. And that shows you that any one of us can go to Jesus and Jesus can help. He can take care of that problem for us. Why? Because he did all things that pleased the Father. He already fasted, folks. He already prays. And so if you go to help man for help, you're going to be disappointed. But Jesus, he'll never disappoint you. And we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your words and thank you for the services that are for today, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts will be humble towards you and our hearts will be open to your words. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.